Many people often say, when we talk about end times things, they say, oh, this is deep stuff. And I've had so many people, when we get into the book of Revelation, say things like, oh, this is deep stuff. Revelation is not deep stuff. The return of Christ is not deep stuff. In fact, Hebrews chapter 6 identifies the things about the final judgment, which is all these things about the last days, as being elementary teachings. Now, do you go to school, and first you go to high school, and then you go to college, and then you go to graduate school, and then you go to elementary school? It's not that way, is it? Elementary means the very easiest things. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. And so, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, and remember, the Thessalonians came to Christ. Paul was there, you can read in Acts chapter 17, Paul was there for under a month. He was there for 3 Sabbath days. How many of you have known Christ for 3 Sabbath years? How about 3 Sabbath decades? But these people had only been introduced to the truth for 3 Sabbath days. Now that means he was there a minimum of 15 days, a maximum of 27 days. They had only been exposed to the Word of God for under 27 days. And yet they already knew so much about the Lord's return that they were asking all kinds of questions. And so here's what it says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant. There are so many today who are totally ignorant of the return of Christ, and there are so many so-called churches that claim to preach the Bible that don't talk about the second coming. And yet, the second coming of Christ is the second most taught thing in the New Testament behind the manner of salvation. If you took out the teachings about salvation, number 2 is the return of Christ. And Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. A Jewish euphemism means those who are dead. Or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Now, the Bible doesn't say that it's wrong to grieve when someone dies. It says it's wrong to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. Sadly, one of the most tragic things is when we as believers lose a loved one who we have no assurance knows Christ. Now that is truly a reason for grief. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him, according to the Lord's own word. We tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Let's bow together, O Father, as we come to Your Word. As we receive the promise that Jesus will return, and both the joyous promise for those who are prepared and the horrendous promise for those who are not, may we take this warning to heart and may we be ready For everything you have said in your word is given to prepare us for this cataclysmic event. Lord, you've said, when you see these signs appearing, lift up your heads, for redemption draws nigh. Lord, as that day draws nigh, help us to be ready whenever you come. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk today about the rapture. Now, the word rapture is never found in the Bible. Just like the word Trinity is never found in the Bible, but it is based on a Greek word that means to suddenly snatch away. If I were to hold out this pen, you ever played that little game where you hold something in your hand and the other person tries to snatch it out of your hand before you can jerk it back? And the kids play it all the time at school. They'll try to grab it away from each other, and you try to grab it back. If you were to walk up and just suddenly grab out your hand and rip this pen out of my hand, that would be the Greek word rapture. So the concept of the rapture, although the word is not used, is taught throughout the Scripture, and we're going to be looking at that at some length today. It's taught first and foremost here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it says, verse 16, "For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds, to be caught up, to be raptured, to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." Now, for those who truly know Christ, this is to be a blessed event. There are many people that say, oh, when you talk about end times, it's doom and gloom. Yes, it is, for those who don't know Christ. But for those who do know Christ, it is the blessed event. Think of it this way. The arrival of Moses in Egypt with God's message, "Let my people go," was a terror to the Egyptians. But it was a wondrous day to God's people. And in the same way, the return of Christ will be a wondrous thing for God's true people. It will be a horror for those who are not. Look at Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Titus 2, 13. There Paul is writing to Timothy, and he says about this. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. "While we wait for the blessed hope," the blessed hope, "the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." This is the great hope. This is the opportunity of the ages. There are some who will never taste death, who will never go through that process that all of us are a part of slowly decaying. You know the old story about, if I'm over the hill, how come I never reached the top? Many of us here are over the hill. Our best days in this life are behind us. We will never go back. The world tries to recapture their youth. But you can't do that. But for the believer, we have no fear of age, because age is not the end. It's not, I bemoan, oh, I'm getting older and I can do less and less and I ache more and more. It's, I'm getting closer to the finish line. And yeah, I'm wearing out. Just like that marathon runner who starts to hurt when you get near the finish line. And the aches and pains grow the longer you run the race. But you know what? There's no way but to run through the aches and pains to get to the finish line. And I'm looking forward to the finish line. And there are those who say, oh, you know, I'm falling apart in my body, this, and I. But I say, I'm going to have a better body than I've ever had. I'm going to have a better mind than I've ever had. I'm looking forward to that day, the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why the book of Revelation ends this way. Look how the book of Revelation ends. You know, after all these things, and we're going to be looking at these over the next probably 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at the judgments of God that are coming after the rapture. And I do believe it will be after the rapture. If you want to see why, stay for Sunday school. We're going to be discussing that in Sunday school today. And we'll be looking at that. I don't say that you have to believe the way I do. You can be wrong if you want. No, not at all. These are one of those things where godly people can disagree, but I'm going to share with you why I still believe, in spite of the fact that there are difficulties with it, that Jesus is going to come for His church before that great time of tribulation begins. But notice what Revelation says. Revelation 22, this is how it ends. Revelation 22:12. He's talked about all these plagues and the death of billions of people. Revelation 6, the very beginning of Revelation, Revelation 6 talks about the death of 1/4 of the world's population. Do you realize that's 1.7 billion people today? That is 1,700 million people. Later it talks about the death of 1/3 of the world's population. And then that's before the great tribulation, where God's punishments really get severe. But at the end of that, He says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes." Folks, we've got to be ready for this. Today is the day to begin to wash your robes. Today's the day to get really right with Jesus Christ and stay that way, because it will come, as we're going to look, like a thief in the night. "Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magical arts, the sexually immoral." We talked at great length. And if you were not here last week and did not get that message about the moral climate of the time that Christ would return, you need to get that message and the one before it about the prophecies, because we are living in those days. "Blessed are those who wash their robes. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magical arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Oh, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus." Look at how it ends. Chapter 22, verse 20. "He who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming soon." And what's the response? Amen! What's amen mean? Let it be so. Let it be so. Amen! Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, for those who are truly Christ, there is no better day than the day that Jesus returns for His own. That is the blessed hope. That is the aspiration. That is the day for which generations of Christians have lived and died waiting for that day. Oh, and they will not be left out, because Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians, the dead in Christ will rise first. Those who have finished their race are going to get there first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. Are you ready today? Look at what Paul says, because here's the thing. Not everyone's going to be ready for that. Paul's absolutely clear. Look what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I have fought the good fight. Let me ask you, if today was your last day on earth, could you say, I fought the good fight? I finished my course? Could you say, I'm on step with God, with where He wants me to be today? Or would you, are you saying, oh, you know, one of these days I'm going to catch up. One of these days I'm going to run real fast. And, you know, after I grow up, after I've had my fun, then I'll run the race. After the kids come. After the kids leave. When I'm settled for retirement. Oh, now I'm too tired. Do you know how many people put off running that race? But Paul could say, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Could you say today, I finished my race right up to today? I'm where God wants me today? Or would you have to say, oh, I'm way behind. Boy, I better start running faster because it's time to catch up. Paul could say, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only me. Now, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, of course he's going to reward Paul. Look at Paul. Look at all he did. Look at all he was. Look at what happened in his life. Look at what he did for the kingdom. I mean, look at Paul. Of course he's going to reward Paul. But he says, not only me, but also to some. Not what your Bible says. A few, but to all who have longed for His appearing. Let me ask you, are you longing for His appearing? I'm not asking you, are you saying, well, if Jesus comes back, okay, I guess. Do you get up in the morning going, today may be the day? Oh, that today were the day. I can remember people that would say, oh, I hope Jesus doesn't come back until I. And then fill in the blank. Oh, how tragic that is, because Paul says, I long for that day. Do you long for that day? Is there nothing in your life that you would say, oh, it's unfinished if Jesus comes today? Would you say, oh, I'm just waiting for that day above all things? Paul says he will reward every person. That's where their heart's at. Their heart isn't set on getting a new house, getting a new job, graduating from school. It isn't on getting married or getting out of being married. You know, marriage is like two flies on a window. Those on the outside want to get in. Those on the inside want to get. How tragic it is that that is the case today. That's one of the signs. Remember we talked last week? It will be like the days of Noah, marrying and giving in marriage. He says, I've longed for that appearing. Are you longing for that most of all? Oh, I want to go away to college. Oh, I want to get my first job. I want to move out. I want to have kids. I want to get married. I want to this. I want to that. I want the kids to move out and be back to being an empty nester. No, I want Jesus to come. Is that the greatest longing of your heart? Is that the thing that motivates you in the morning? Do you get up saying, today is the day that Jesus could come? But it is only that wondrous day for those who are prepared. I want you to notice that the Bible says it will not be a wonderful day for everyone. Look with me at Malachi the last book in the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. Probably easiest to find it, go to Matthew and go backwards, one book. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. Malachi 3, 2. But who can endure the day of His coming? Who can stand when He appears? Let me ask you, if Jesus were to appear this very hour, would you be able to stand? Would you rushingly rise to greet Him? Or would you say, not so soon, I wasn't ready? Who can stand when He appears? For He will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and He will purify the Levites. Who are the Levites? The priests. What does the New Testament say? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, for we are a holy people. King James translates it, a peculiar people. Some of us are more peculiar than others. A royal priesthood. He will appear to refine and purify the Levites, not the lost. It doesn't say He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and He will purify the lost. And He will refine them as gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. And the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be acceptable to the Lord as in the days gone by, as in the former years. He's going to appear as a refiner. Amos says it this way. Look with me at Amos. If you go to Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the little Lamentations in there. You get to Daniel, go on to Hosea, then Joel, then Amos. It's the third of those minor prophets. Minor only in that they're short, not that they're unimportant. Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 23. Amos chapter 5, verses 18 to 23. Here's what Amos writes and says. He says, woe to you! Now he's writing to a backslidden people of Israel. He's writing to Israel at the time when they are far away from God. And they're saying, oh, the Lord's going to come and rescue me. How many Christians are there today who call themselves Christians, who are living like the world and have overspent and overindulged and lived for sin, and now the ruin of their life is coming? And they go, oh, Jesus, come and rescue me from my poor choices. He says, woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? It will be darkness, not light. Are you a person for whom the day of the Lord will be a day of darkness, not light? It will be as though a man's fled from a lion. Can you imagine you're walking home from work, la-di-da, la-di-da, and a lion steps out of the bushes. And you go, ah, a lion! And you take off running. And you run faster than... You ever hear about the two soldiers that were hiking through the woods? And there was a mountain lion there in the trail. And the old experienced sergeant, he leans down and he starts really tightening his combat boots, tightening them up. And the private goes, sir, I don't think you can outrun a bear even with your boots tight. He goes, son, I don't have to outrun the bear. All I got to do is outrun you. Back to the message. David understands that, don't you, David? Remember the coyotes? It will be as though a man fled from a lion only to meet a bear. Can you imagine? Here you go, you're running from that lion. Oh, and it looks like you're going to go get away, and a bear rises up in front of you. Ah! And you take take off running in the other direction. And now you got a lion and a bear behind you. And you run in and you slam the door of the house and you're standing there going, as though he entered his house, rested his hand on the wall, and a cobra bites you. Now, this isn't a joke. This isn't a joke. This is what the Scripture says it will be for some people. Put yourself in that person's shoes. Think how horrible that would be. To suddenly think I'm safe and face at the very time when you thought you had finally arrived at safety and face destruction. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light, pitch dark, without a ray of brightness? Why? Look at verse 21. I hate, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard from them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. You see, they were worshiping God with their mouths. They were putting on big religious ceremonies and big religious spectacles. And they were putting on big shows. And yet, God says, unacceptable. And that day is going to show. And I fear greatly because I believe there are many, many, many multitudes of people in churches all across this country today who go for the show, who go for the spectacle, who clap their hands. I was watching an ad on television for a praise tape. And it showed this arena with thousands of people waving their arms and carrying on. And, oh boy, they seemed so into it. And I thought, if there was one city in America that had that many true Christians in it, could it possibly be that we would be like we are today? He says, oh yeah, there'll be lots of people that say they worship me. But that day is going to be a day of great darkness. Now we must understand some things about that day. First of all, that day will come suddenly. One of the most important doctrines about the second coming is the doctrine of imminence. The doctrine of imminence. Imminence means that it could happen at any moment. And it will happen suddenly. Look with me back at Malachi, right before Matthew. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Malachi 3, 1. Malachi 3, 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then, Malachi 3, 1. Then, suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to His temple. It's going to happen suddenly, without warning. There will be no time to get ready. There will be no weeks of preparation. There will be no, okay, we're going to have a month-long service because we've got a countdown here, and you know, you've got 30 days to get ready, so start confessing sin and start getting your life right and start living for Jesus. There will be no warning. It will happen suddenly. In fact, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Beginning at verse 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50, the Apostle Paul writes and says, I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. There's no way that you or I could walk into heaven as we are. Nothing that is perishable can exist in heaven. And we're all perishable the way we are today. He says, listen, verse 51, I tell you a mystery. You won't figure this out on your own. Don't sit there and try to think about it. Don't go, ooh, if I ponder this, I'll... No, you have to receive it by faith. It is uncomprehendable unless you come by faith. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep or die. It's a euphemism for death. But we will all be changed. In a flash. In the twinkling of an eye. Quicker than a person blinks. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. That thing that he wrote about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. There'll be no warning. There'll be no time to prepare. There'll be no days leading up to it that you can say, oh, boy, I've got 42 days left. I better use them wisely. It could happen this very day. It could happen this very hour. It could happen right now. There is nothing to hold back the coming of Christ. All over the world today, the gospel's being preached. Romans chapter 13 says, it will happen when the age of the Gentiles is over, when the last Gentile is saved. Romans 11 says, today, all over the world, the gospel is being preached. How do you know that today, someplace in the world, the last Gentile will not give their heart to Jesus Christ? How do you know that somebody here could go into work tomorrow and witness to somebody, and they be the last person that God's waiting for? You don't know. It will happen suddenly, without warning, instantly, gone. And then it's too late. Now somebody says, well, I'll wait till after I see all the Christians disappear. Then I'll know it's true. Then I'll get saved. No, you won't. Let me show you a verse, 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 11. If you will not get right with Jesus Christ today, there's no guarantee that you will ever get right. And every person that's listening to my voice right now, you've heard enough of the gospel that you could get saved. You could today say, God, I want that salvation. I want to be ready when Jesus comes. There's no magic word you have to say. If you, that's the desire of your heart, God would save you today. I know people who have been saved with far less knowledge. Here's what it says. For this reason, 2 Thessalonians 2:11, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie. Today, God is preparing the lie. Maybe it's aliens. Oh, they all disappeared because aliens. But when around the world, all those who are truly Christ, and it used to say millions of people, I don't know that it would be millions of people in America these days. I hope that it would. But I certainly don't believe what these clowns are saying, that there's 100,000 born-again people in America. You've got to be kidding me. But when people all over the world suddenly vanish, there will be millions, because I believe every infant will be gone. Every very young child will be gone. You say, how young? I don't know. I don't believe it's as old as most people want to say. I don't believe it'll be 12 or 13 or 14. I don't even believe 10-year-olds today. I believe that long before you're 10 years old, you have the ability to give your heart to Jesus Christ or say, no, I don't. I'm going to live for myself. For this cause, for this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth. You see, all those who have heard the gospel, who have had the chance to believe the truth, and every one of you are one of them right now. You, if you do not accept that truth, if you do not give yourself to that truth today, God will send you a delusion. He'll say, forget it. You didn't want me, I won't take you. There are those who say you can come to God whenever you want. No, you cannot. Jesus said, except the Father draws them, they cannot come to me. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not next week, not after Jesus comes. God will send them a strong delusion that they will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. There are a lot of people that say, oh, I'd get saved, but I want to live for myself first. Oh, what's it going to hurt? I'll get right later. Do you realize that every time you say no to God, your heart is hardened? Every time. And you reach the place where that heart becomes, as the Bible says, seared with a hot iron. You know what happens when you burn yourself? It kills the nerves and you can no longer feel. And you know what? There are some people today that they're alive, but they're spiritually dead. They're in hell already today because they have seared themselves with a hot iron and they can no longer feel anything about God. Don't be one of them. Third of all, we've been talking about the rapture. Number two, it will happen suddenly. Peter says it will happen like a thief in the night. Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Wow. 2 Peter 3:10. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord, 2 Peter 3:10, will come like a thief. It will come like a thief. David had a little fender bender a few weeks ago. Was over at the school picking somebody up from the school, and there was all this traffic coming from, and he went to go forward, thought the person was moving out of the way, and he hit the gas. And the person stopped dead and thump, he tunked their back bumper. They had a solid bumper, one of the old cars with a steel, and it didn't do anything to that car. Knocked in our plastic bumper. Is that an oxymoron or what? Plastic bumper? But we were talking about it, and he goes, oh, do I have to tell Dad? He said to Kathy, do I have to tell Dad? And after we talked, I talked with him, and he said, you're not as mad as I thought. And I said, nah, I knew it would happen. Sooner or later, it happens to everyone, it seems. I'm just glad it was as cheap as it was. It was not very expensive. And hey, if you learn the lesson, it's a really cheap lesson. But I said, did you see how fast it happened? He said, yeah. There was nothing you could do. Once I saw it, but there was nothing I could do. And that's how it's going to be with the return of Christ. It's going to be like a thief. Have you ever been stolen from? And you go, oh, if only I'd done this. If only I hadn't put my purse there. If only I hadn't left that money there. Oh, if only I'd put another lock. If only. But it's too late. It happened so suddenly. And then you go, oh, that's how it'll be with the return of Christ. Are you ready today? Look with me at Revelation 16:15. Revelation 16:15. Jesus gives us warning again and again. This is not just one time. Revelation 16:15. Revelation 16:15. Revelation 16:15. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake. Are you staying awake? Are you staying awake? He's going to come like a thief. Now, if you're guarding the house 24 hours a day, no, doesn't matter when the thief comes, does it? You're ready. Are you awake? Are you spiritually awake today? He'll come like a thief. Are you ready? Look with me at Revelation 3:3. He writes to the church and he warns a church that's going to sleep. Revelation 3:3, he says this, "Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up," is this written to you? Is this written to me? "If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know what time I will come to you." Is that written? Were those words written for you? For me? Are you spiritually awake today? Look at one more, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm sure you've heard that phrase. Everyone has heard that phrase. A thief in the night, a thief in the night. There was the movie that was made. In fact, we watched it just last Sunday evening. Still holds up after all these years. In fact, it probably looks better than it did a few years ago. Made over 40 years ago now by that title. But look at what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. "For you know very well," 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, "that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety." Isn't it amazing that we have more peace talks today than we've probably ever had, and less peace? Politicians are constantly telling us things will get better. We're going to have peace, but there is no peace. When they say peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But here's the thing. Notice the next word, but. The next word is but. Doesn't have to be that way. "But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that that day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the darkness or the night. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." He goes on and talks about that. Are you alert today? Are you ready for Jesus to come back? Are you prepared? He says, be ready. It's going to come like a thief. But it shouldn't be a thief for you. When Jesus comes back, you should say, "Oh, I was ready." Oh, how wondrous it will be for those who can say that. Last of all, and we've talked about this before, and we have communion, and I want to get to communion. I want to look at one parable about the return of Christ. It's found in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. With this, we're going to end. Now, this is about the return of Christ. I wish we had another 20-25 minutes. If we had another 20-25 minutes, I'd really go through this and look at and show you, but you're going to have to just run with me and look it over yourself later. But I want you to get the point. Look at Matthew 24:40. Matthew 24:40. "Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding in a handmill. One will be taken, the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come." He's talking about the rapture there, isn't he? Now, Matthew 25 begins with these words, and there's no break in the continuities. He's told another parable before that. We looked at that at the very beginning of this series. But there's no break in continuity. He says, at that time. What time? What's the that time? The time of the rapture. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps. Now, I've said it before, but we need to drive this point home in our hearts with all sincerity. Does it say there were 5 virgins and 5 prostitutes? 5 virgins and 5 loose women. How many virgins were there? 10. Who took their lamps? Does it say there were 5 virgins with lamps and 5 virgins without lamps? 5 virgins that forgot their lamps? 10 virgins. How many had lamps? All of them. But 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take with them take any oil with them. Oil in the Word of God is always a sign of the Holy Spirit. They were not filled with the Holy Spirit. They may have looked like virgins. They may have even had a testimony, a light. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world," talking about testimony. They may have been able to say, "I'm a Christian, I was saved." They had all that. But they didn't have any oil. The bridegroom was a long time coming. Has Jesus been a long time coming? Do people today say, "Oh, it's been so long"? That's one of the signs he's going to come. They all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up. How many woke up? And trimmed their lamps. How many trimmed their lamps? The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." You know how many times the Bible says he who endures till the end will be saved? It's about time we started saying it's not that you prayed a prayer 10 years ago or 10 minutes ago. It's he who endures till the end. It's not that you have a spark of faith at one day in your life and you said, "Oh, God must be real. I'll pray this prayer. Whew, done, over, blocked away. I'll go on with my life." It is, "My life was changed by Jesus Christ." That's the kind of faith that saves, and none other. We talked about that last week, and I showed you some of those scriptures. Then all of them, the foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the marriage banquet. Let me ask you, this is really important. Are you ready? Is your life saying, "I'm ready"? Or do you say, "Oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I've got a testimony. But I don't have a lot of oil." If the bridegroom came today, I'd have to run real quick to get right with God. Because I'm not ready. He said, those who were ready went in with him to the marriage banquet. And the door was shut. You know what those verses, "the door was shut," reminds me of? The ark. Jesus said it would be like the days of Noah. What happened? Noah was ready. All the animals were in the ark. And then what happened? God shut the door. And then the rain started. And the door was shut. Are you ready today? If you're not ready, do not leave this place unready. I'm not asking for some big show of stuff, because you know we live in a day in which having a big show and walking an aisle and has replaced true faith as some sign that, and there's so many people today that have walked the aisle so many times that the rugs are bare in some places, but their lives haven't changed. And if it wasn't that way, maybe I'd do things different, but it is that way, isn't it? I'm asking you, You need to get right with Jesus Christ, and that means your life has to change. It's not enough that you say, I'm ready. It's not enough you say, hey, I'm a virgin. I'm a Christian. I've been washed in the blood. He said there were 10 of those, but only 5 were ready. I'm asking you, are you ready? Are you ready? You say, oh, preacher, why do you harp on that all the time? Oh, come on, preacher. Why don't you, you know why I harp on that? Because a day is going to come when the only thing that's going to matter is, were you ready? We watched A Thief in the Night last Sunday evening. I remember the first time I watched it, and that preacher stood there weeping in the front of the church, saying, oh, another one, another one. And the girl says, why didn't you tell me? He said, I read it, I studied it, I knew it. But I didn't believe it. And I said on that day, no matter what it cost me, I don't care if I preach to an empty church, I'm going to tell people to get ready. I'm not going to be one who says, oh, if he'd only told me. So I'm telling you, will you get ready? Will you be ready? Today, you say, what do I do? There's no magic thing. There's no 6 quick steps. You know, get up and you can walk out and go, oh, it is, you need to have Jesus Christ in your life as the Lord of your life, and you need to walk with Him. Jesus said, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. You need to live in Jesus Christ, and He needs to live in you. And if that isn't happening, then be afraid, be very afraid. I'm going to pray. And we're going to sing, and then we're going to have communion. And it's a wonderful time to have communion, because you say, oh, it seems so overwhelming. No, it's not. Jesus has done all the work. Jesus paid it all. That's what communion's about. Jesus paid the full price. He didn't say, okay, I've paid my share from the cross. He said, it is finished. He didn't say, hey, I got you most of the way there, but pay the rest yourself. No, he said, it is finished. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. That's why you just have to live in Him. I'm not asking you to say magic words. I'm asking you to be ready. To have a life so changed because you are so in love with Jesus, so filled with His Word. Pastor Phil and I used to talk about, can a person be saved and lose it? And I got to say that there's enough on both sides of that issue that I don't know that anybody can say with certainty one way or the other. I think these people that say with absolute certainty one way or the other are fudging some verses. I know that you can't lose your salvation lightly like some say. That's ludicrous. But he said, you know, the end of the story is this. If you tailgate Jesus, you don't ever have to worry about getting lost. I'm asking you to tailgate Jesus. You know when Peter got into trouble? It's not when he stopped following Jesus. What did he do? He followed Him afar off. You know, when you follow somebody way back, it's easy to get lost, isn't it? But when you tailgate a person, it's hard to get lost. I'm asking you, will you tailgate Jesus? Will you be ready when He comes? Let's bow together. Lord, I pray for every person in this room today and those who would hear the sound of my voice. Lord, that today You would stir within every heart a passion to be right with You. There are some here today, undoubtedly, that need to get right with You. Lord, whatever it takes to get right with You, You have said You will search for me and You will find me when You search for me with all your heart. Lord, there is no one here that if they will not search with all their heart, that they will not find. So, Lord, I pray that you will take every person here that needs to get right with you and give them the passion to search for you with all of their hearts. Lord, for those who can say in honesty, and the Holy Spirit bears witness, I'm ready. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen those people for the day that we have to endure, because it's not, am I ready today? It's, was I faithful to the end? Lord, I pray that you would increase every one of our faith to believe you, to love you, to serve you, that we could say, as the Apostle Paul said, I have finished my race. I've kept the faith. I'm ready. Oh, Lord. We don't even begin to comprehend. Paul saw it with his own eyes. He saw the other side, what awaits those. But he said, there is a crown of righteousness. Oh, what it is, I don't know, but it's wonderful. Lord, may I be one that longs for your coming, is ready when you come, and receives that reward. In Jesus' name.